Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everybody, welcome to The Ruck. This season ends only when we say so. We'll be broadcasting this week, next week, and then throughout the England tour of South Africa. And how big is that? We'll also be touching on the other tours. Just before we go on, a statement from The Times. Owen Slot's disappearance from the podcast. It's nothing to do with the rumours that he's hopeless. Owen is nursing a hamstring injury which has caused him any amount of problems. We are assured he'll be back with us soon. But just to make this clear, he's not off the pod because he's hopeless. The panel today is anything but hopeless. We've got Alex Lowe of The Times. Alex was at Exeter on Saturday, revealed a remarkable statistic about the Exeter team, which we'll come to in a minute. Adam Hathaway, the dog man, king of the tabloids, has graciously consented, unlike the Cray twins, to cross the river today, and is down south with us. Disastrous news from Maura the Greyhound, Adam.
Yeah, she was, I think she's a bit of a Republican. She was running in something called the Congratulations Harry and Meghan Trophy at Hove on Saturday, came stone bonking last. So I think she's got a touch of the Cromwells about her.
That's a real bloody insult to the royal family. Also, for the first time, Duncan Beck from the Press Association, that august institution. Many of you will have read Duncan's stuff for years and not realised it, because the Press Association is the mainstay, would you say, Duncan, of news in Britain?
The backbone.
The backbone has... All right, I'll do the... every newspaper and media outlet in Britain practically relies on PA, as Duncan says, the backbone of their news. You don't become a PA journalist without being sharp, accurate, and a serious drinker.
So how did you become PA?
Got the last bit right.
Also, Duncan's dedication extends to a real focus on, I think it's a former Gloucester centre, because on tour at night he keeps on talking to someone that sounds like Mike Tinder.
I knew that was going to get him.
Let's be serious for a minute. It's been a huge week. The Royal Wedding. I'm a resident of the Royal Borough myself, Royal Borough of Windsor. Majestic scenes there. Windsor's never looked so good. The morale and this effect when two people truly in love get together. Alex, I know you loved it as much as I did. The decision of Meghan Markle to have Prince Charles to walk down the aisle, is that an insult to tradition, or did it work for you?
No, I thought it was... I think being given away is such a kind of old feudal custom. I thought it was a lovely symbol of Meghan walking down and being welcomed into the family, rather than being accompanied down and given away. And it was so many modern touches. She didn't vow to obey Harry. She gave a speech afterwards at the reception, and just a real sort of strong symbol of modernity and unity at a time when there's so much division in the world.
Agreed. Adam, did this show again the UK's unbelievable capacity to put on these great shows?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. When you talk about the two people in love, I thought you were talking about James Haskell and Chloe. well, we do these things well, don't we, in this country?
Did you think that these two great nations came together, USA and England?
Well, hands across the water stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, fantastic.
I was moved by it too. Dunk, Givenchy, were they the right people to design the dress?
Absolutely. I've been long-term admirers of Givenchy.
Givenchy, I think it's pronounced.
Givenchy, maybe, as it's pronounced in Paris.
Yeah.
I'm an out-and-out royalist, Jonesy, so
I very much enjoyed the royal wedding, what I was able to see of it, but, and the dress.
But going back to the dress, simple but beautiful, or would you prefer to have seen a bit more sort of style on it, or what?
No, I think simple's best on an occasion like that. Meghan's beauty speaks for itself, and the dress just refined that.
And did the long train work for you?
Absolutely loved it. I expected nothing less, to be honest. I thought that was exactly what she was going to go for, and I was proved right.
Massive stitch.
I think we did justice to the royal wedding there with our couture expert, Duncan Beck. Okay, big rugby news as well as big couture news. Paul Gustard, the defence coach of the England team and Eddie Jones's squad, has withdrawn or is about to withdraw from the England squad under Eddie completely after the forthcoming tour to join and to take a major post with Harlequins. First of all, Alex, rather stunning. This group has been together for a long time. It's approaching its big day in just over a year's time. Now the key man pulls out. Very odd.
It is odd, and it raises questions which, by the time you listen to this, will have been down to the stoop to ask him. But it raises questions as to how England and why England can lose one of their senior coaches a year out from the World Cup. Those questions are, did he want to go? Was he unhappy in a setup? We know how there's been a huge churn of staff behind the scenes, but the core coaches have always remained the same. So did he want to go? Were England happy to lose him because maybe Eddie Jones wanted to bring in a new voice and a new, some new ideas? I'd be surprised. But, and the other element, of course, is the job security and the opportunity of being a head coach at Harlequins. And it's a head coach in a different setup. So he's the top man running the rugby team, which is an opportunity that he hasn't had with England, and which I think his talent demands. He's a bright, innovative coach, full of personality, and the impression that we've been given of him at England is that he's been muted. That personality has not been given the chance to come forth, and so I can see why it might be an appealing opportunity. But it raises questions, because by the time he leaves England, there'll be one year and nine tests before they get into that World Cup training camp, and suddenly there's going to have to be a new defence coach who will have new ideas. And when Eddie joined as England head coach, he said that he was going to build his England team on defence and forward play. Now that one of the key pillars is going to be leading.
Duncan, if England had been going strong near the top of the rankings and have come off the back of a good Six Nations and were expected to do well in the World Cup, surely no coach would have left. Is this, if it was Gustav's decision, is this a slight vote of no confidence in the way the team has been going?
Yeah, I'd say it has to be. I mean, for a young coach coming in from a Premiership club, England is a dream job. 15 months out from the World Cup, if the team was playing well, if there was a harmonious coaching team behind the scenes, then I can't see why he'd want to leave at this stage. So yeah, I do find it strange timing. If he was fully confident about where England were going, I think he would have stayed until the World Cup. Or if he was completely happy working with Eddie, working with the conditions he's working with, I don't think he will have left.
Adam, we heard a lot of stuff from Eddie last week about, I don't act on rumours. He must have known what was happening. Now, what we say here may well be superseded, but the thing is, did Eddie know, and did Gustard know a week ago and were just almost lying to us? Does this show a kind of underlying chaos in the England squad? Because, as you know, you guys speak to these coaches very often, but it was always Eddie that was in charge. And do you think Gustard maybe felt that he didn't get enough profile, enough living room, enough breathing space?
Well, frankly, I thought the behaviour of the RFU and coaches in Brighton last week was a disgrace. My two colleagues on this side of the table both got lied to, I think. Eddie said he didn't know anything about it. All Eddie had to say last Thursday was, why wouldn't you be interested in a world-class coach? That's all he had to say, end of story. The other thing is whether... At the moment, we think that Gustard is going to go on the tour to South Africa. He should be nowhere near it, because he will have his eye off the ball, however much we'll get this flannel saying he's a pro, blah, blah, blah. But as you know, Steve, if you've got something better in the future or different in the future, you take your eye off the ball. I mean, we know for a fact that you are editing the Bulgarian Sevens monthly from September, and frankly, it shows you in a copy.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. I didn't want that to come out.
I think you're right, because Eddie just dismissed it as rumours. And when we pressed him on it and said, you know, these aren't just rumours. He's been interviewed twice, at least, by Harlequins at that point. We knew he was on their three-man shortlist. And then he just comes out and just said, "Oh, come to me when there's a story. Some bloke in the street just came up to me with a rumour." Now, we talk about the press association's role. Duncan's job is to report faithfully what people say. All the pieces that people would have read on various websites, which reported Eddie Jones talking about these are just rumours and dismissing them, would have been Duncan's piece, because that's his responsibility. The rest of us just took the mick out of it, because it was preposterous from Eddie Jones that he didn't know about it. It was preposterous from Steve Borthwick that he hadn't spoken to Paul Gussard about it. And it shows a frank disregard to the media for asking legitimate questions.
And through them, the general public? England's followers?
It's their England team. You know, when England run out, On the PA system, they're introduced as your England team. They're only your England team when the RFU decide to tell you something about them.
We had several goes at it, just to be told over and over again by Eddie, it's just rumours, there's no contingency plan, because this is just a rumour, it's not a real story. So we were doing our best on that front. And also, the suggestion is that Gussard will go to South Africa as defence. I just don't see how that happens. I think that either he doesn't go, or England go without a defence coach,
yeah,
or they appoint someone in time.
But don't you get the next man in now for priceless time, Adam?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, or you could pick somebody just for the tour. I mean, how about somebody like Brad Barrett? Take him for 3 weeks. He runs the best defence in the country.
Well, that's very true. Any contenders? Brad Davis, I've seen.
Yeah. Brad Davis, the ex-Wasps defence coach, now Ospreys, has been talked about. I mean, you talk about Brad Barrett, as a player, he does run the best defence. The guy who coaches that defence and has helped build it after Gustav left was Alex Anderson, who is very highly regarded as a coach. But I remember talking to him coming back after the Lions tour. He spent time in New Zealand and was underwhelmed by the Lions' experience from a coaching point of view, because you get so little time with them. I'd be very surprised if he wanted to leave club rugby to work with Eddie.
I'd also be surprised if Saracens let another one go, having lost Andy Farrell and Gustard to England.
Well, absolutely. And actually, the way Saracens bounced back on Saturday, they're the best team in England, including England anyway. So why wouldn't you stay there? Very difficult. It's slightly on a knife edge now, because some of us, I mean, I'm not saying that all of us, but some of us find that the selection are really bewildering. The Barbars on Sunday, guys, are we going to get another sort of odd selection for this, or what are you expecting?
Eddie hinted last week that he'd pick his strongest available team, so he was going to wait to see who was coming back after the weekend semi-finals and then make a decision from there. But he said he would approach the game as a curtain raiser for the South Africa tour, as a warm-up match. So he was going to look to pick a stronger side.
In that case, it's going to be a surprisingly relevant Barbarian game.
Yes, to a degree. But that always relies on the Barbarians bringing their side of the bargain. And they're actually picking a pretty dangerous-looking team with Chris Ashton involved. And I think four players from Toulon. Bundiaki is going to be there. It's a strong Barbarians team. And they'll only have a week together, most of it in the pub. But England will use it as a warm-up game. I'm not a big fan of these games. I have to say, I think there are so many matches played. And if it's a fundraiser for the RFU, then that their head coach probably shouldn't be going around saying it's just a warm-up game.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you know, even the Barbars now become a big game, for goodness sake. Adam, you're a great Barbars man, always have been. You're the big Oyster and Guinness man. Surely now, you've got to get rid of some games sometime. And now even the Barbars is life or death.
Well, yeah, and we had that preposterous game against Wales a couple of years ago.
That's the Six Nations, that was. What are you talking about?
The one in May.
All right, yeah, that one. Oh, absolute rubbish.
You should either treat it one way or the other. Either treat it as a good old drink-up, which the Barbarians will, and they'll probably play some good rugby. The England team will be unrecognisable from what turns up at Ellis Park in June. I'll just ignore it, to be honest. Right. The golf's on anyway.
Fair enough. It's always nice to be with the real rugby professionals. Yeah, the golf is on. Guys, just been to see two fascinating semi-finals in the Aviva Premiership. Sarries overpowered Wasps. Wasps did come back with some stings, with some brilliant play, but never going to win. And on the subject of never going to win, was it 91% possession Exeter had in the first half, Alex?
More, 90,
down there,
93. Staggering stats.
Staggering stats, but in a staggering game in many ways. All those tries, 90 points, crowd absolutely loved it. Sorry, Saracens have been way off the pace this year. You look at their injury list, it's staggering. But then you look on Saturday, most of them are back, and just one or two, like Michael Rhodes, back on the bench, Skelton back on the bench. Did we suddenly remind ourselves, if we need reminding, what they can do when they are all there?
Absolutely. I think that first 20 minutes, Mark McCall referenced it himself. He said it's probably the best he's seen Saracens play.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to disagree with that. They were exceptional. It was very simple rugby. Big forwards running hard onto the ball. It was unstoppable for Watts. And Dyer Young referenced it after. He said he knew what was coming. He'd sort of tried to prepare the players for what was coming, but they were just powerless to stop it. And when Saracens are playing like that, it's hard to see any team in Europe stopping them.
Adam, the so-called exhausted players, Mako Vunipola, Maro Itoje, they look absolutely shattered, didn't
absolutely
they?
Absolutely knackered. Mako was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I wish I was as knackered as him. Saracens are coming with a run at the right time. They're basically getting their players fit. The only two guys who might have got in their 23 who weren't available were Liam Williams and Duncan Taylor. I mean, Mako was off the scale. Mara's brilliant. Jamie George, fantastic. One guy who doesn't get the credit he deserves is Vincent Cock, who could be a thorn in the flesh of England in the summer.
Yeah, he was confirmed to me by someone I trust that he'll be the prop. England will come up against him. Yeah. And my God, he was... I mean, as Duncan said, that first bit was just absolutely unstoppable. I can't think of any team that could have stopped them in for those first couple of scores.
Well, I thought it was going to be 100 after 20 minutes. They were unbelievable. If Wasps couldn't have stopped them with a cannon.
It'd be interesting to see if they played that Leinster game, European quarter-final. If that was to happen now, how would that have turned out?
Interesting. Maybe we'll give Arthur first say on that, because Leinster were excellent against the Racing, not absolutely dominant, which they can be. I think that possibly they just showed one or two weaknesses. I don't know. I still haven't seen anyone who is as good as Sarries, the way Sarries play, not when they had those players, but on the weekend, thought, blimey. And I spoke to Shark Brits last week, and I said, did you enjoy the European Cup final? He said, I couldn't watch it. He said, when we played Leinster, they were good, but we had men down, and I don't think many other people could have watched it. And that's safe for now, rather than say one's better than the other. Alex, that God, next year it'll be a clash. Although the dopey way they do the pools, they'll probably be in the same pool.
Yeah.
Alex, Sarries, let's say, reports their demise have been staggeringly premature.
Yeah, absolutely, and misguided. They went through a really tough. They've been through the toughest season that they've had in since their rise to the top. The injury list has been ridiculous. They've had call ups, and they've had sort of setbacks which they're not that used to. And they're just finishing like a train this season, and you know, you look at that, you talk about that European Cup final. I thought Racing found a way to stop Leinster from playing. Leinster found a way to win, but Racing blew it as well. You know, I think if you were to put Saracens into that position, Saracens find a way to stop Leinster playing, but then don't blow it in the last 10 minutes.
Correct. Guys, there's another species of player out there on the weekend in both matches. People were assumed to be either injured or tired and didn't go on the tour, like Jack Nowell and Richard Wigglesworth. They didn't look too tragic to me. That was slightly odd. But just staying at Allianz Park at the moment, Adam, Danny Cipriani, Guy Thompson, didn't actually show why Dyes Young has let them go.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. I mean, the Danny thing is... Well, you know, if you're a manager, you're supposed to manage people, so we'll put them on a bed. The Thompson thing is absolutely inexplicable. Leicester will get a full Premiership season out of him. The bloke was fantastic when he came on Saturday. Just a dynamic ball carrier. I think he's a terrific player, but, you know, obviously Premiership's not good enough, so he's not going to get a look in for England.
I thought Danny, I mean, people talk about playing flat to the line that Ford does, etc. Danny is right on the line and putting people through, and I just think he's just so talented. Duncan, first question we asked to Mark McCall, asked by one of the senior journalists, was great win, but defence, where was that? Because Danny and Willie de Roo did pick them apart. Any cause for concern there, bearing in mind that Exeter are not going to be playing like that?
Yes, definitely, but you'd back Saracens to get that sorted within the week. I mean, it was... Mark McCall said it was a very un-Saracens-like defensive display, and it was. They were picked apart a little bit too easily, but they were so far ahead. I think it was 30 points to 5 just in the 42nd minute. They're so far ahead, Saracens Watts never had much of a chance of coming back, although Danny Cipriani did his best. I mean, Owen Farrell was outstanding. It was a complete fly-half performance, but as an attacking fly-half, I just think Danny Cipriani is out there by himself, and Eddie Jones has to find a way to incorporate him into the team. I don't know how that's done, but he's got to it's going to be a real challenge of his management and his coaching, but he's got to find a way of involving Danny.
Should mention Owen Farrell, and in his way was just awesome. Alex?
I think Duncan's right about Cipriani, but it's also the way that Cipriani combines with Vidi LaRue. They are probably the sharpest attacking team in the country, so it's sort of no disgrace that Saracens would be cut open by them. I also think there's been a slight shift in emphasis at Saracens. Talked to Alex Anderson at the start of the season, and they looked at last year and how they conceded 100 fewer points than anyone else, but didn't score that many more. And they made a decision to just shift the balance of their training, understanding that they could afford to concede a few more points, knowing that the accent would be placed on their attack. And you know, they outscored the sharpest attacking team in the country. They scored more tries than anyone else. And so Exeter won't play that way. I mean, Exeter have Joe Simmons and Henry Slade, who dovetail beautifully as two playmakers, but they won't play in the same way as Wasps.
There's one more point from me, and that is that Christian Wade not on this England tour, and Marlon Yard is. Wade, anyone who thinks he's the Wade that he was 2 years ago is talking nonsense, because he's bigger, he's terrific in the air, his defence is excellent, and his cutting edge is magnificent. And for him to be banished, to me, is ridiculous. Let's just go on to Sandy Park. And in the Times this morning, Alex, you revealed the stat, because none of us had thought about it, that their starting team for the semi-final was 12 different to...
11.
To the final last year. Now, that is amazing. Just shows how they develop players. But what's the background to that?
Well, a lot of it is key players have left. So remember, Jeff Parling started that final. He's now left. Ben Moon was the starter. Jack Yander was a starter in the final last year. This season, Cowan Dickey has claimed that position now for himself. Alec Hepburn has come through. He's capped. Johnny Hill has taken over from Jeff Parling, is now in an England squad. It's a slightly misleading stat, because Harry Williams did start the final and was injured the weekend. Slade was on the bench last year, started the weekend. But the general point is that Exeter don't go to Twickenham feeling like they're there to defend their title. This is a new team, effectively, in their eyes, that has got them to Twickenham. They're there to win it again. Sam Simmons is now an established number eight. Last year it was Thomas Waldrum. And they just... The really impressive thing about them at the weekend was... I mean, those statistics were... I've never seen anything like it. That first half, 93% possession. I think Newcastle had made over 150 tackles by half-time, and Exeter had made 10. I mean, it was... Or 9. It was... And yet, it was only 16-0. And you'd think with all that pressure and territory, Exeter would have been out of sight. Newcastle defended doggedly, but what Exeter didn't do was get flustered by not being able to take all of those chances. They scored right before half time. So up until the brink of half time, it was 9-0. And you'd imagine that a team with all that opportunity and not scoring would get frustrated, and they didn't. They just trusted that it was going to come. They played that. You know, when Newcastle make as many tackles as they did, they're not going to last the 80 minutes. And Exeter just... They just kept going and stayed composed and unflustered, and it duly came. And it was one of those games that seemed to have all these things you don't often see. Alex Tate scored a try for Newcastle, and then Lockie Turner charged down Toby Flood's conversion. Alex Tate then got over the line again and dropped it with no one near him. It's just one of those games that's full of bizarre things that you never see. But the one constant was Exeter doing what Exeter do.
Adam, Alex is saying there, it is frightening, because they are an incredibly young side, and so could well be coming back year after year.
Well, they're not going anywhere, that's for sure. But I do fancy Saracens on Saturday, because they really have got the bit between their teeth, and they are smarting from what happened last year. But I agree, the extra production line is fantastic. I mean, Baxter, they keep coming up with these homegrown players and kids. When you think they've got a big game like they had on Saturday, semi-final, don't start Steenson, would have been unthinkable a year ago.
Sure. Duncan, Exeter, should they be shut down in the areas of strength, which takes some doing even for Saracens? Should they be shut down? Have they got, and we'll come to Alex with the same question, have they got somewhere to go in which they're still proficient to win them the game if they don't do it with short yardage?
I think that'll be a question that we'll find out the answer to on Saturday. It's a fascinating final. It's the final this season's Premiership deserves. They've been far and away the two best teams in the competition. Exeter have just set it alight from the start, and Saracens have timed their run very well. They've got a lot of their injured players back, almost at full strength. And this, I think, this is a game when we'll find out how good Exeter really are. I mean, they're third time in the final in a row. They're well beaten in the same final in 2016. I think this is when we find out against a full bore Saracens just how good they are.
I think if Saracens win that physical battle, what you're saying is, can Simmons and Slade conjure up another way to open up Saracens? And that is a test that Joe Simmons hasn't yet really been through. So, I mean, he's never played at Twickenham. He had an armchair ride at the weekend, and there were times when his kicking game and management was perfect. You know, beautiful kicks to the corner, landing half a foot in from touch. But he had the time, and he wasn't being harried. That's the question. And Slade is a beautiful player with space, and he can run. But if that short carrying game gets shut down by Saracens, who have guys with the power to do that, then the big question for Exeter is, can they find another way?
Okay, we're going to go across the panel now. Look, we all know that we're putting ourselves on the line. There's not going to be much in there. But Adam, you fancy Saris?
Yeah, by six.
But Saris by six. Duncan?
Saris.
Alex?
Yeah, I'd say Saracens as well. I'm tempted to say there might be a repeat of extra time as there was last season, because it could be tight. But I just think, we talked about that, you know, what would have happened if Saracens had been in the European Cup final. I just think they know. They're on. They've got a head of steam, and they know how to win these games.
All I'll say is that no one ever got rich betting against Exeter, and we've written them off. Well, they'd be written off sometimes, but I agree.
Not writing
I agree.
Them off.
No, I know we're not writing them off. I think it'll be unbelievably close, and we're probably going to record two predictions by me here, and then use the one that comes in.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Off Air, the podcast. With Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
Keep your cheese in the sink.
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no.
How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
We've got another final this weekend. Llanelli in the final of the Pro 14 will be going to Leinster. And staggeringly, Leinster are playing at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin for the 48th consecutive time. I'm quite sure what happened to away at home advantage and away advantage in that. They seem to be there all the time. God bless them. The Glasgow Llanelli game on Friday evening in Scotstoun was meant to be a shootout between Dave Rennie of Glasgow and Wayne Pivac of Llanelli, of the Scarlets, rather, both in line to be the Welsh coach, both Kiwis. Well, if it was down to that, Wayne Pivac has come romping home, because the Scarlets were absolutely dominant. Their game management, the way they were up for it, the way they played it, they really were in a different class. And the likes of Scott Williams, Hadley Parks, also a man I've never really warmed to, Rhys Patchell, had a magnificent game for the Scarlets. Really disappointing for Glasgow. They've got to kick on again. They seem to be slightly becalmed on the fringes of greatness, not quite there. But with Edinburgh coming up, that'll give them a kick in the backside. Scarlets, do they have a chance in Leinster? We've been talking about one or two things that have appeared which give teams that play Leinster hope, but does anyone think they can go there and do what they did last year and take the title in Dublin?
I would just say, if you're talking about this as an 80-minute audition between Rennie and Pivac, I think Pivac is, I'd be amazed if they go anywhere else, Wales. I think he's building up a you know, such a reputation there for delivering winning rugby and entertaining rugby. You know, they're filling Barkie Scarlett. I'd be amazed if the WRU were to look beyond him for the Wales job. But can the Scarlets go into Leinster territory for their for this neutral final and win? I think they'll be up against it, just on the basis of Leinster, some of their key men. I can see them doing the double.
Adam, you're not very fond of the Welsh as a nation or as a rugby nation. Do you think it's good though that at last there's a Welsh team coming through, because there's not been one for so long?
I think that's a bit harsh, Jonesy, to be honest. I'd be surprised if they beat Leinster, though. I mean, Leinster just got past Munster in the other semi-final. If I can get one word of praise for Stuart Lancaster out of you, my work is done and I can retire.
OK, you won't be retiring for a bit then. the only way they could get closer is to have the game in Stuart Lancaster's lawn. Then they'd be really home.
It has been a decent season for Wales, hasn't it? I mean, the Six Nations, they were better than most people anticipated. Challenge Cup final winners, and now Scarlett's in the final. It's been a positive season, I'd say, for Welsh rugby overall.
It has, but I just think that, you know, Scotland are just on the verge. They just cannot make that last step. It's a great shame for them they haven't got anyone in the final. I think it'll be a great final. Llanelli really didn't show against Leinster in a match that was again at the Aviva Stadium not so long ago in Europe, but great chance for them today with Ken Owens leader. Now, that is a real leader. Ken Owens leader. They've got a chance. Dunk, we'll have a prediction from you. Must be Leinster.
Absolutely, it's going to be Leinster. I think it's a repeat of the Euro semi-final, and we saw the way that went
right
in Dublin. Convincing Leinster win, yeah.
On the subject of home games, on the weekend, the National Cup for Colts in England was won by Maidenhead. Amazingly, including some players that I coached, but they seem to have turned out all right despite that. A great moment for Maidenhead, but a little bit more than that, Colts rugby. It is an absolutely amazing scenario, an amazing scene, and an amazing arena. But it's been tortured and stabbed by people. The RFU, for one, cut off the top of it, and there's no longer under-19 Colts who went to under-18s as the senior age group. Wrong, guys. More and more people leave the game because of the huge gap now between teenage rugby and senior rugby. It's too much. You've got to change it and bring back under-19s. Whenever someone puts together a Colts team, if players are always having to go away to silly county sessions, to sevens, to academies and things like that, and then kept in by public schools, don't really want them. It is a massive arena, RFU. If you really want to boost the numbers, get people playing Colts, get them older and put something behind it. And also get the rest of the season out of the way so they can field teams. So good luck to Maidenhead, but also good luck to every other Colts team in the arena and in England and everywhere. It is a time and it is a place where players need to be nurtured. Guys, you three are all amongst the hardest working here. Not long left of the season now. Are we looking forward to it with a desperation, or are we still excited about what's left, Alex?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the final on Saturday at Twickenham.
You're still looking forward to the final?
Still looking forward to the final at Twickenham. But a break is needed, not just for the players, because next season is a 12-month campaign going through to the World Cup and beyond. So, a couple of down weeks will be welcome.
Duncan, you have to be at every game and every press conference.
Yeah, and Saturday's final is a game that I'm looking forward to being at. I think it's a fascinating match. We've backed Saris, all of us have backed Saris to win it, but I think it'll be a great game with Exeter pushing them very close. And beyond that, we have the England tour to South Africa. And you just get the feeling that England are quite delicately poised at the moment. They've lost three in a row. They've had people saying that could be six. Warren Gatland obviously said that could be six in a row with potentially a rejuvenated South Africa.
Coach is leaving.
Is there a bit of disunity there behind the scenes? So it's a really important tour for England that could go
badly wrong. Two people still fighting. Adam, you service about 47 papers. So it's 44 tabloids and 3 broadsheets. Have you had enough? You've earned so much money this year, but are you still up for more Bunts work?
Well, the beach house in Barbados is getting redecorated at the moment. I'll tell you what though, after Saturday I'm looking forward to a couple of weeks R&R, a bit of cricket and a bit of golf, because Arthur's just really depressed me, because England go into World Cup camp in July, then it go all through the World Cup, then we'll go all through another Six Nations at the end of the season. That will be about 1500 press conferences. The games will be brilliant, the press conferences will mostly be drivel.
Okay, well, the one thing I'm looking forward to is getting on the bullet train. It's something I haven't done today, I can assure you. Thanks for listening to The Ruck. Write to us, keep in touch with us, keep downloading us. Stay with us till the end of the season. We'll all be there.